Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we'll tell you how you can win a million frequent flyer miles, and China has opened an active nuclear plant to tourists.
The holiday season's just around the corner, and at 3:20, Gwen Duncan of Cordially Yours Travels joins us to make you a smarter traveler, talking about when to fly around the holidays.
Hint, if you're willing to fly on Turkey Day, your fare just went down. At 3:35, we take you into the real world of an Uber driver in Las Vegas, behind the scenes in an Uber car, and it isn't always pretty.
Just last week, Clayton Whitehead was regaling us about his European river cruise. We found another unique way to travel the rivers of Europe and beyond. That story at 3:50.
The World Series game doesn't start till 5 o'clock, giving you just enough time to listen to today's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
We're back. It's the Travel Guys. It must be Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano here on the radio, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, here to make you a smarter traveler. Welcome, Mark. I'm here in the studios, and where the heck are you? You're not.
Even though it sounds as though I'm here in the studio with you, I'm actually not. I've actually just landed in Las Vegas a few hours ago, and we are going ghost hunting this week and going to all the ghost towns in Nevada and stuff. So as you know, it's one of my favorite trips. So in just a matter of a day and a few hours, I'll be out in the middle of the desert talking to a blinking box, trying to communicate with the spirits of folks from days gone by.
This is
it is crazy, you know, but it's fun.
Well, you know, this is kind of interesting, folks. For those of you that may not have been following along, it wasn't that long ago. Just a few years ago, Mark was a naysayer. The ghost thing, and do I believe? I don't know. I have a lot of doubts about this kind of stuff.
Any logical person would say this is hooey.
And then Mark found this really great ghost tour in Las Vegas, and it was like one time. And he came back, well, you know, this is, I can't say, I'm undecided.
Listen, when Robert George Allen took us to Red Fox's house, and we were hypothetically talking with Mr. Fox's spirit outside of his house, and the answers that the spirit was giving were all the right answers. And it's, I don't know. I mean, I just, it's if nothing else, it's a heck of a lot of fun. We are going to be staying, by the way, so I'll tell you about this next week, how it went, but we are going to be staying in the Mitzpah Hotel in Tonopah, which is in, go look at your map, it's in the middle of absolute nowhere in central Nevada, on Halloween night. Now, Robert says that spirits don't know that Halloween is any different from any other day.
Oh, okay.
So they don't know that it's the night that they're supposed to be rowdy or anything like that. So we'll see if anything happens in the Mitzpah Hotel in Tonopah on Halloween, because we will be there, and maybe the lady in red, who is the infamous ghost there in the building, will make her appearance. But for those of you who are going out Halloweening, trick-or-treating on Monday, why, we will be out trick-or-treating in the Nevada desert. So
awesome. Well, before we jump to the travel news, I have to ask, I know you had a video that, you know, tells the story of the ghost tour. Is that still on your website?
Yes, it is. It is. You can go to sportsleisure.com, and if you look up the ghost town tour of old Nevada, you'll see Robert does the ghost. We did a little ghost hunting of our own last year without a group, so a lot of fun. One of those just kind of amazing things. You know, it's amazing, Tom, to be in the travel business like I am. I'm kind of in the making dreams come true business, and dreams come in all sorts and sizes and shapes and stuff, and chasing ghosts, or, you know, taking a great grand tour across an ocean or something like that. Everybody has dreams on different levels and sees fun in different things. So I'm an incredibly lucky person to be able to be in the position to take people to all of these amazingly wonderful places. Because as you say, it as you point out, it changes the way you look at things.
Very cool. And by the way, while you're on your computer, go to travelguysradio.com. You can follow along with everything that we're going to talk about on today's show. Well, let's get to it. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring in the travel news with Mark Hoffman. Mark, what you got for us today?
Just a second here. Wait, I'm waiting for Huey Lewis and the guys to move out of the way there. It's kind of crowded in the control room with the whole band and everything every week. It's nice of those guys just to show up for a few seconds, you know. All right, we mentioned in the headlines that we were going to tell you how you could win 1 million frequent flyer miles. This is from United Airlines. And not only, this is kind of cool, they're United Miles, the contest comes from TravelZoo.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tom, there's a small excise tax associated with redeeming frequent flyer miles. Mm-hmm. So if you win 1 million frequent flyer miles, there's a tax liability associated with it. And the TravelZoo is giving you $5,000 to help offset the tax liability associated with the prize. It's open to anybody who is a legal resident of these 48 United States. Does not include Alaska and Hawaii. You have to be 21 years old, and you can enter once a day. The value of the grand prize is $25,000. So, you know, somebody has to win this trip. So go to travelguysradio.com, and there's a way for you to be able to enter the contest there. And the only thing we ask is that if you win the 1 million miles, please come back and tell us about it.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the only requirement. All right. I also mentioned in the headlines that China is opening one of their nuclear plants to tourism. Indeed, you can go and see China 816 nuclear military plant. I'm not going to try to pronounce the name of the mountains here that it's in, but it's and I said in the headlines this was a live plant. It's a decommissioned plant, but it hasn't been totally shut down yet. Huh. So there are plutonium and weapons processing buried in the ground there, and you can go into the tunnel and you can tour this nuclear military plant. It's kind of
now why
it looks kind of eerie online.
What would possess somebody to want to go someplace where there's a pretty good chance, based on information, that you could be exposed to radiation?
Well, they're
going to give you a Geiger counter to find out how many rims or whatever it is that you're absorbing. This is crazy.
That's an excellent question.
Count me out.
Hyatt and MGM have announced that you can earn more points for your stays in Las Vegas. If you're staying at the MGM property, you have to be registered for both the Hyatt Gold Passport and MGM's program, which is called M Life Rewards. So if you're going to Vegas and you're staying at the MGM Grand, you happen to be a Hyatt Gold Passport customer, why, then you can enhance your rewards there. Google is creating a Google Flights now is going to predict airfare changes. This could be something that could really be big. It's not there for you yet. They're going to roll it out over the next few weeks. But the new thing is going to give Google Flights users will be notified if there's likely to be a price increase or decrease, how much the price will differ, and when the change is expected to take effect.
Wow. So that could be like an alert on your phone or something.
Yeah. Well, and this is going to tell you when you go to buy the ticket, it's going to say, no. Don't wait a minute before you buy the ticket. Our prediction is that this ticket will drop $60 next week.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of unknowns about how this is going to work, so we won't go into it. But, you know, clearly you can't. That's not going to happen if you're like on Southwest's flight at the time.
No, but when it comes around, it will be. We'll keep an eye on this, because if this develops into something that we can use, why, we'll use it. We'll teach you how to use it on the radio. How's that sound?
Okay.
All right. Let's. We mentioned that we're going to talk to one of Tom's. You ran into an Uber guy down in Las Vegas. And
I did. Yeah.
Really fascinating interview. That's coming up later on in the program. Uber is a little bit. In the news, Uber now has some driverless cars. Did you hear about this?
Yep.
Customers in Pittsburgh have been treated to a preview of what many expect to be the future of ride sharing. 14 self-driving Ford Fusions began ferrying riders within a 12-square-mile section of the city's downtown.
Wow.
And all kinds of comments here from folks who, what it was right, let's see, as the car navigates four-way stops and traffic-controlled intersections, the ride is mostly smooth with scattered moments of aggressive accelerating or braking. The engineer at the wheel takes over control every few minutes. Once he's not happy with how long the car is waiting before slowing for a pedestrian, another time he manually steers around a double-parked truck, knowing the system will just stop and wait for it to move. But there's all kinds of comments here from folks who have ridden in those cars.
Were any of the comments, it's just like the movie Total Recall. Did you ever see that movie?
No, oh, I did not.
Well, for those that did, and for those that didn't, for that matter, there's one scene. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the star in that particular movie, and he jumps into, it's kind of a futuristic film, and he jumps into the back of a taxi cab, and it has a driver, but he's just a dummy. He's just a mechanical guy. So it'd be like an Uber car, but instead of just having nobody there, they have a mechanical man, that turns around and goes, "Hi, how are you? Where would you like to go?" And so it's, are they going to take it one step further and try to, put some animatronics in there to make you feel more comfortable?
I guess we'll just have to wait and see, but my guess is we're not going to have to wait too long. This whole driverless, did you see the first driverless truck was running last week? So this is all coming very, very soon. Okay, quickly here at the end of the travel news, a couple of quick travel tips for you here, Tom. One, you're going to have to answer a question. Actually, I'll ask you both of these.
Okay.
Where would you sit on the airplane to avoid air sickness?
In the middle.
Aha, you're right. Yeah, over the wings, just mm-hmm. like it would be on a ship or, any other moving vessel. So I thought that was kind of interesting. A lot of people fly over the holidays who don't fly at other times of the year. So if you have somebody who's prone to motion sickness, try to find a seat over the wing. And sometimes those seats that are right over the wing are the last ones available because they don't have any kind of a view.
Right.
So think about that if you've got somebody who has motion sickness. All right, Tom, what is the one lie you should always tell while traveling?
The one lie you should tell while traveling, huh? Wow. I don't have a clue.
Never tell anyone that you're traveling alone.
Oh, hey, there you go. Yeah.
There's no harm in inventing a little white lie about your partner that's back at the hotel room or the friend you're meeting later and just dropping that into your conversation. If you're talking to someone or you're at the front desk or anything like that, it's a really good idea. And if you want to embellish it even a little further, when you're checking in at the front desk, when the clerk asks you how many hotel keys you need, how many room keys you need, just in a very normal voice, say, "I'll need two keys because when my friend gets here later, he'll need a key too, or she'll need a key too." Because you never know who's listening or who's just a little white lie that you should tell. Always tell when you're traveling alone is never tell anybody that you're traveling alone. And that's your travel news and travel tips for today.
No, that was a great one. I really like that one. We are the Travel Guys, here to do our best to make you a smarter traveler. And we're going to do just exactly that as Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel joins us in just a couple of minutes, along with Mark Hoffman, give you some great tips, in particular, when to fly around the holidays. That's next on the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's the Travel Guys on KFBK, here to make you a smarter traveler. And with the holidays just around the corner, well, we're going to be on task today. We're bringing on a couple of the experts, of course, Mark Hoffman, who travels once in a while, and Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel. And we're going to go over some great tips for holiday travel, aren't we, gang?
We are. We absolutely are. We always talk about when is the best time to buy tickets, but we don't always talk about when is the best time to fly around holidays. And, if you want to go on Wednesday night to your destination for Thanksgiving on Thursday, you are going to pay a premium.
Yes, whether you pay it early or not.
Yes, no matter when you buy it. But,
right.
Gwen, there are some days that you could fly around holidays that work a little better, are there not?
Yes, and that would be on the holiday or the day after.
Yes. And if you fly on the holiday, pretty much any time, of course, the flights later in the day on the holiday, again, tend to be the ones, although airlines will cut back the schedules as the day goes on. But that very first flight on the Friday morning after Thanksgiving or the morning after Christmas sometimes is where you can get in. And if you haven't bought your ticket yet, you might find a little bit better fare there, or even more importantly, the four seats together on the plane that you need to do that. Gwen, we also talked about saving money on, you know, that sometimes it's expensive to fly directly to a hub or on a nonstop flight, but it's better maybe to fly on a connecting flight. But at a holiday in the winter, would you take a connecting flight?
Well, I guess that depends on how much you can afford, but I can tell you this, I wouldn't, because I've slept overnight at Chicago, and that's no fun. When you're in a connecting flight, there's a very likely possibility in the winter that you're not going to make your connecting flight, and then you're spending the holiday in the airport instead of with your family.
Yeah, and also you don't have luggage or anything like that, and you're eating turkey dinner at DIA or something of that sort. We always tell folks, you buy an airline ticket, you have 24 hours to change your mind. Legally, you have 24 hours to change your mind.
Yes.
So if you buy a ticket and you decide that that's not quite what you need, you can change your mind. But one airline has a policy that allows you to save a fare, to hold a fare for a small amount of money, and that's United. You can place a fare on a four or seven day hold. And it's only going to cost you $5-$10, something like that. And I have used it a couple of times myself. And if you're in a situation where you're not exactly sure about your travel dates, or you're waiting for someone else to commit or something like that, that's a way to hold on to a fare that you like. And also you can reserve your seats and hold on to your seats that way.
Now, that's a real bonus. Now, many of the airlines, you can hold a space, but that doesn't guarantee the fare.
No, it does not.
You know, and that's what a lot of people don't realize. You can hold it for 24 hours. That gets you there. But you don't know what your final payment's going to be because they'll reprice it.
Now, also, Gwen, one of the things on your list here is about consider using your frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, and that could be a little testy. A lot of space isn't available, but it depends on where you're going and what hubs you're using.
And, of course, if your ticket is usually $300 and for the holidays it's $500, then that would be a much better use of your frequent flyer miles.
That's
because
right.
Folks who keep track of those things ad infinitum will tell you that it's always better to get a better deal for your miles. So if you can use miles to purchase a $500 ticket with the same number of miles that you would purchase a $300 ticket, then you have saved yourself some sizable cash. Of course, as you get closer to the holidays, you will find that a lot of flights aren't available. But and here's another secret. As you get really close to the holidays, some flights will become available on points or miles that weren't available before, because when the airline sees that this plane isn't going to fill, well, okay, we'll throw the flyers a bone and some of them can get on here for nothing. We talked about alerts also, about people signing up for alerts. Now, Gwen, there's a couple of kinds of alerts. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Okay. One of them is that you can sign up for is a common site. It's called Airfare Watchdog. They'll give those to you. But the best ones are to download the apps to the airlines that you're going to be traveling on. And they will alert you all kinds of things. If you're delayed, gates changes, cancellations. You know, I mean, you want to know if there's a cancellation or not. All of this prior to your trip. So that's all real helpful, and you should download as soon as you have booked your flight. Download the app if you haven't already.
Also, it's winter time, and weather is going to cause problems inevitably, and you will find in many cases that if you get someplace and your flight has been canceled or you have misconnected or something, if you have the airline's app on your phone, you can open it up, and in many cases you will find that the airline has either A, already rebooked you on something.
That's right.
Or B, is offering you a choice of some options, and you don't have to stand in that long line, or you don't have to be in queue on hold for an hour and a half. So really and truly, if the best advice that we could give you for holiday travel is make absolutely certain you have the app for the airline on your phone before you take off.
More and more people are using that technology, and I think it's excellent, excellent advice.
And if you're someone who you say, well, what's an app? And, you know, I have a cell phone and I've gotten that far. Well, ask your grandson or the next door neighbor girl or something like that to explain it to you. And it's very easy to load it onto your phone. And it's super simple to open it. All you have to do is tap on it. It's very intuitive. Even people like Mark have figured it out. I would trust Tom with one of them. That's how much.
Well, thank you very much. Now, I found particularly useful if you happen to be at a destination, you're going to visit your family for a holiday, and it's time to finally say goodbye, and you don't pay attention, and you end up at the airport, and instead of spending an extra 4 or 5 hours with the family, you spend it at the airport. Now, that's crazy when you when your app literally can warn you way in advance that you don't need to be there quite that early.
Something that's kind of important, too, is when you're on the flight and you're doing your checking, it's free. It's like a connection that isn't like having to pay for Wi-Fi. You can use that app.
That's right. On the plane, while you're flying, even if you don't sign up for the internet, you can turn on your phone or your tablet or your iPad and connect to the airline's app, assuming that their Wi-Fi is working.
Yeah.
And find out while you're flying what your situation is in terms of connections and stuff like that. It really is an invaluable tool. So if there's anything you take away from this little interview with Gwen and Mark, it's get that airline app on your phone before you take off for the winter. And if you're really looking for a decent fare, consider the possibility of actually flying on the holiday itself, and maybe you'll be able to come up with something. Gwen, thank you very much for your time and trouble. You can find Gwen at
GoCYTravel.com.
There you go. And also at TravelGuysRadio.com. Thank you, Gwen. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Mark and Tom.
Coming up after the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly of being an Uber driver in Las Vegas. That's next on The Travel Guys.
Country roads take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia.
Welcome to The Travel Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler wherever you go. Mark and Tom with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we mentioned on the air over the last week or so, that I was going to dial up a special guest, someone I met while in Las Vegas using rideshare, and I have him on the line with me now. Percy is an Uber driver. Last time I spoke with him in Las Vegas. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Percy.
Hey, how are you?
I thought it was really interesting when we met Percy, the fact that not only was he, well, you find this to be the case, people that drive with rideshare always, in most cases, do something else. It's not their full time, and Percy's also a boxer and a boxer trainer, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Percy, tell us a little bit about the highlights and lowlights of being a driver for Uber in the big city of Las Vegas.
Well, it's a city that never sleeps, so it's a 24-hour gig. It's very flexible as far as no matter what time or day, you can turn on your app and kind of go to work. The downside to that is late night, you get people coming from clubs or out, you know, night on the town and are kind of under the bottle a little bit in a sense. And, you know, that becomes, you know, sometimes an issue of them either being sick in the car or having trouble getting to the location that they're going to.
Well, Tom, it just, you can't help but laugh because Las Vegas, I never thought about that. But Las Vegas, of course, is a place where people do a lot of partying. And so a lot of people are going to come out of those places in wee hours and not be in the best of shape. Percy, is there any one of those experiences that kind of bubbles to the top for you?
Absolutely. There was a young lady that I picked up from a nightclub. It was probably about 1:30 in the morning. She blacked out in the back of the car. I got to the location, and there was two doors at the location next to each other, apartment where the address went to, and she was completely blacked out. So it was me in a pickle of what to do as far as how to drop her off because she would not respond to waking up. I sat there for about 15 minutes, contemplated calling, you know, the Metro to help me when one of her friends opened the door and I asked if they knew her and they said yes, and we kind of had to carry her inside. So that was probably the craziest experience that I had.
Well, with that being said, Percy, does the company have a policy in regards to what you do when you've got a passenger who is passed out in your car? What's the company line on that?
Well, there's no really company line on it, but it's up to our discretion. If, you know, basically, if we cannot handle it ourselves, we do need to call Metro and have them assist us.
Wow. Hey, Percy, let me ask you, you mentioned that you drive for Uber and that you're waiting to be approved to drive for Lyft. The huge difference that I'm aware of between those two companies, I'm sure there are others, is that on Lyft, it's easier for people to provide a gratuity to the driver. I've kind of taken to, when I get a good Uber ride, why I just give the driver a couple dollars in cash, and they seem to really appreciate that, and depending on the length of the ride and stuff like that. Is that a serious incentive or disincentive for one service versus the other from a driver's standpoint?
Yes, because Lyft allows you to tip via credit card or debit card, you know, through the app, which makes it more safe for us, because if we have cash, it can become dangerous, just like cab drivers. But Lyft, you can definitely tip through the app, which makes it simple, and sometimes people don't carry cash. With Uber, they haven't, you know, upgraded their system to allow us to take tips, you know, through the application or through credit cards.
Ever tried to figure out about what your hourly take is on an average, if you don't mind sharing that with us?
It fluctuates. On a slow day, about $10 an hour. On a good day, you can make upwards of $45 an hour. It just depends on, for example, when I met Tom, it was iHeartRadio, Life is Beautiful Festival, and the rates were inflationary, so we were looking around $45 an hour.
We were in and out just before that, Mark. We got out of there on Thursday just before the iHeart Music Festival occurred, and like Percy and others that the rates will go up when there's high demand. You know, there are a lot of people listening to us that use the service, and then there are those that are thinking maybe they might want to take on a job as a driver. Percy, are they still considering you a subcontractor? You get paid direct, and then you have to take care of your taxes? Or has any of these ride-share companies begin to treat you like an employer?
Well, no, it's entrepreneurial, where we are our own boss, and it's basically like running your own small business. So, yes, you have to take care of your taxes and be smart with the money that you're making.
So when they take let's say if you're driving with Lyft, who you indicated will go ahead and allow people to pay you a tip right there when they pay the fare, when you get that tip money, it comes out, if they gave you $2, you get the $2.
Correct.
They don't take a commission off your tip.
Not at all.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Percy, we mentioned at the top of the interview, by the way, for those that might be just tuning in, we're talking with Percy. He is an Uber driver in Las Vegas and also sidelines as a boxer and a trainer of boxer. Tell us a little bit about your boxing background, Percy.
Okay. I started boxing as a kid. My stepdad was military boxer and kind of raised us rough, where, you know, he punched you in the chest at 2 years old and you better stand back up on your feet. So it was that kind of thing, and okay. I fell in love with boxing, and it's just the art of, you know, being able to, it's not really the violence of the sport that I like, it's the science, and that you, in life sometimes you're punched in the face, but you still got to move forward, and that's the greatest lesson that I see some kids come in, their confidence is lacking, you know, they come from bad backgrounds, and we give them something where they can build confidence and learning how to protect themselves, learning how to become better citizens and be disciplined.
Outstanding. Percy, let me ask you, the situation with Uber down there in Vegas with the taxi cabs and stuff like that has been kind of sticky. I mean, I've kind of followed it a little bit, and Lord knows the cab drivers and getting a ride from, especially from the airport, is just a total complete ripoff. A cab ride that used to be $6 or $7 is now approaching $30, $35 because the cab drivers have figured out ways to get you to the hotel. Let's just say, are not the most direct ways to get there. Have you had any issues with taxi drivers down there, anything? Are you guys coexisting together? How's that working?
Absolutely. We in our staging lot at the airport, we've had tomatoes thrown at us. You know, they drive by and yell obscenities. But what I've seen is that we have to have both. You know, Vegas is a place where if we only rely on Uber drivers, we're not going to get everybody where they need to go.
The taxi lines at the airport are, as anybody knows who has flown into Vegas at any kind of unless you get there in the middle of the night, not many planes land then. Unless you land in the morning, the taxi lines at the Vegas airport are unbelievable. So there certainly is the supply and demand situation. There certainly was room for Uber in Las Vegas. And now that I know that you're at the airport, the taxi cabs can stuff it next time I'm in town. Percy, thank you for taking a little bit of time here. Is there anything else? Is there anything you'd like to tell people who are Uber or Lyft rideshare people. Is there any tip that you'd like to give them that would help them use your services better?
Absolutely. It's very convenient. If anybody knows Vegas now, a lot of the hotels are charging for parking, which I'm a big advocate of no drinking and driving ever. And a lot of our locals are catching on now. I'm picking up people that have nice Mercedes-Benz in their driveway, and they're using my service and our service as Uber to get them safely where they need to go and safely home, which everybody needs to pick up on that. Also, Uber now has Uber Eats, where you don't have to leave your hotel or your home, and we can deliver food to you. So it's a service that's definitely cornering the market and growing very quickly.
Uber Eats, that's great.
Thomas, did you hear something Percy said there about the about parking? Casinos in Las Vegas charging for parking? And he's right. And indeed, this is one of the ways that they're justifying, you know, the little service charge, you know, the $25, $30.
Oh, yeah.
Now it includes parking.
The resort fee.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now it includes parking. And, of course, it used to be that parking was free. Well, now we charge for parking, so now our resort fee looks all that much better than it used to. So what a con job. Amazing. Thanks a lot for your time, Percy.
Thank you.
Mark, be sure to ask me about the other Uber driver we had on our vacation that was his first day at work. He told us a story about his very first fare was a, she was a stripper, and he took her from home to work.
Well, I guess in Las Vegas, you know, you would have all kinds of...
Probably do that a lot.
You know, as Percy had, you know, the person who didn't make it out of his car, and the, you know, you'd have people who worked in all kinds of different Las Vegas businesses. Speaking of which, I have a thing here to make you a little bit smarter traveler next time you go out on the road, Mr. Romano. This
okay.
is eight tips for healthy living on the road. This comes from Tim Winship at Smarter Travel. Tim's been on the program with us before. Let's see here real quickly. This comes from the Mayo Clinic. How about that?
So all right.
Eight tips for healthy living on the road. They're quick. Bring workout gear, running shoes, swimsuit, something like that. Walk. Explore the area by foot. Get up and move at least 5 minutes every hour. Opt for healthy snacks, fresh fruit, cut vegetables, trail mix, nuts, etc. Drink plenty of water. That's probably the most important one when you're traveling, especially when you're flying. Drink mm-hmm. plenty of water. Limit alcohol consumption. Skip the appetizer or dessert. Plan to take half your meal back to your room to eat the next day. I think those are pretty good tips.
They are, you know, and some of them are real easy to do, and some uh-huh. of them are like counter vacation. You
skip
know,
like, the appetizer or dessert.
Yeah, that's something.
If you're a tour director, that's easy to do because they put appetizers and desserts in front of you every day, and eventually you would be bigger than the table.
Well, here again, that's the kind of thing you want to do. Eating and drinking is some kind of part of my pastime on vacation. Now, walking mm-hmm. is often easy, especially if you have kids that want to drag you to theme parks. But like I say, some of those things are easy. Remembering to take time out to, let's say, go to the gym at the hotel, you know, is something you really got to decide you're going to dedicate yourself
yeah,
to.
Yeah, if you're on vacation, I get it. If you travel for a living like I do, why then you just have to get off your rear end and go do it, because otherwise your rear end is going to not fit through the door eventually. Speaking of children, as you were here just a moment ago, another airline is creating child-free zones on planes. No, the other airline or the first airline are not in the United States. Some people don't think this is such a great idea, but AirAsia, Malaysia Airlines, and now Singapore's Scoot Airlines have created policies in the last few years. Children under the age of 12 are not allowed on Scoot to sit in certain rows. So, you know, it's. What do you think about kid-free zones on a plane? Quickly, what do you think?
I think that's a good idea. I've always felt that you should have a certain area where you can park all the kids in uh-huh. one particular section.
Just let them all hang out with each other, kind of sort of thing there.
Well, yeah.
As long as they're at least a few rows away from you. All right, what's coming up next on the program here?
All right, coming up in just about 3.5 minutes, we talked last week with Clayton Whitehead about European river cruises. Now we're going to take that one step further. We're getting smaller. We're going on canals. It's Euro Waterways next on the Travel Guys.
You can travel by road, you can fly by plane, you can take a ride on this one and only train.
can travel, you and me, over land and sea. We'll get to see the sunrise. You can travel by road.
Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Over the last several years, we've talked about cruise ships. Most recently, we've started talking about river cruises. We had Clayton on just recently and explored that quite extensively. And then now we've run across something that's even smaller. We've kind of gone from really big to Clayton's was a pretty small riverboat. And
right.
Now we're talking about, barges.
We found something that we think is in this time, Tom, when everybody is looking for, and I take this phrase right off the front page of their website, a truly unique experience. And river cruising in Europe has become popular, I think, because in many cases the boats are smaller. And so the experience is a little bit more intimate. But what if you could sail on a boat on a river that only had a half a dozen people on it? Maybe it was just your party. Maybe there's only 20 folks on board. Does that not kind of change the circumstances a little bit? And Derek Banks has joined us here on the Travel Guys. He's with European Waterways. Tell us about this really amazing product. I just really think that it's something really unique and really different. And reasonable at all, it seems like that you must have some future customers here in the United States. Tell us about luxury barge cruises.
We started about 40 years ago. Our niche, if you like, is the smaller canals and rivers. The big river boats can't go where we go physically. The boats that take 100 to 200 people stay on the bigger rivers and tend to visit the cities. We are the largest vessels that operate on the smaller canals. And you would typically find between 8 to 10 to 12 people on a vessel. Our largest takes 20. Obviously, it's an all-inclusive vacation where you have you're looked after very well. You have your own chef on board. It's an open bar situation. The cruises are all 6 nights.
Derek, you mentioned to me that not before we started the interview, that you don't sail on all of the same rivers that the other ships do, because in many cases, because you have a smaller vessel and less draft, that you're able to go a lot of places that other ships can't go. And of course, the other boats and ships have had the issue of too much water, too little water, etc.
We operate on canals, which generally, 90% of our cruising is on canals, which is really a controlled waterway in terms of the water levels. So the yearly problems of flooding don't affect us so much. We are affected. We probably lose 1 or 2 days of navigation a year through either high water or low water because of the control in the canal system. And the canal system in Europe has got probably half the waterways of Europe are canals where the big river boats cannot go. That's where we go. We follow traditionally in France, we would follow the wine regions where you see Chablis, where you see Burgundy wines, Bordeaux, you'll see a canal. And that's because of the tradition of moving the wine 200, 300, 400 years ago when the canal system was built by freight barge.
Derek, tell folks what kind of accommodations and such you have on the barges themselves.
So all of the vessels are en-suite accommodation with a private bath, have a saloon, they'll have a sun deck, a dining area, a lounge area, and we also have one or two minibuses which go along with each vessel, 6 to 8 person minibuses which we have a tour guide on board each vessel to go off on daily excursions. We might jump in the bus and go for 20 minutes or so off to an excursion.
Derek, river cruises typically travel in the evening and have daytime excursions. How is it different, if at all, on the barges?
Well, we only travel when passengers are on board during the day. We'll probably, in a typical day, cruise for 4 or 5 hours. We would go on an excursion for maybe 3 or 4 hours and enjoy the culinary delights on board for some of the rest of the time.
Derek, let's tell folks here who are listening and might be thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. How can I look at it? It's at the website is gobarging.com, G-O-B-A-R-G-I-N-G, gobarging.com, and there'll be a link at travelguysradio.com. So if you're driving around, you can go to the Travel Guys site and see it later. Derek, give us some idea of what these magnificent trips cost.
Typically, we're talking between $4,000 and $7,000 approximately per person per week. That price is an all-inclusive one, excluding air, but it's including everything from the pickup from at the beginning of the trip. We'll go to the hotel where the clients are staying. We have a central pickup point, transfer to the barge, and then all meals on board, open bar. If there are any particular drinks that need to be pre-ordered, if someone's got a special little tipple, we will try and accommodate that. There's fine wines. I mean, we've got vineyard connections that go back 30, 40 years. So we serve some very nice Premier and Grand Cru wines on board. Our barge cruises all start on a Sunday afternoon and go through to a Saturday morning. So it's six nights on board. So if they allow a week, a lot of our clients have come from the States and we are very American facing. We have probably 70% of our clients are American. We would recommend that you arrive a couple of days before, you know, get over the jet lag a bit and then start barging.
Derek, let me, before I let you go here, you've got a special on a cruise in Holland. So I want you to tell folks about that and then we'll just direct folks to your website.
Well, Holland is probably one of the best places in Europe you can cruise. We will, from an excursion point of view, we'll visit the Keukenhof Gardens and the Aalsmeer flower auction. We also visit Delft Pottery. I mean, that's the boat there is called Panache. She's a 12-passenger vessel. It's around the $4,500 mark for the week. We will start cruising that in late March through to May of next year.
Outstanding. And there's a discount available on those cruises right now.
That's right. There's a 10% off for cruises booked before the end of November, I think.
GoBarging.com. European Waterways is the name of the company. And Derek Banks, thank you for joining us today on The Travel Guys.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the Euro Waterway barge cruise one of these days, Mark.
I think it's a pretty cool product. I could see it being in the sports leisure vacations line of tours here. I've made some notes. I'm going to send it down the hall to Clayton and make sure that he gets a chance to maybe do it. All right. Next week on The Travel Guys, we are going to have the Biggie Contest. We're going to have lots of prizes and stuff. I can't tell you too much about it because it would give some people a chance to bone up on their information. But we're going to have a big contest next week on The Travel Guys. And also, Tom and I are going to take you through buying a discounted air ticket on a cheapo airline and show you why it's not cheaper.
Don't forget, you can go to travelguysradio.com anytime you like and download the podcast of any of our past programs. You guys have a wonderful week. Mark, you do too. And we'll see you next week right here, 3 o'clock, the next edition of The Travel Guys. Stay well.